Good to be here this morning. We have a great Savior, and He paid a tremendous price for our sins. We do well to sing it with all our heart. If we know what that is, it's a joy to be here. Well, let's open with a word of prayer, and it's good to see each one of you. Have visitors. Have some workers from my shop here this morning, which is unusual, but you're welcome, and different ones from many different places. We have a full house, and it's a blessing when it's that way. We want to seek the Lord together and open our hearts to Him. Let's pray. Lord, we come before You this morning, just desire to worship You, to seek You, to look into Your Word and see what we can learn from it, Father. We just desire to grow. Lord, whatever You would have to teach us, things that we could take home with us in our hearts, pray that You'd plant those things in our hearts, that we could profit from this time that we spend here. Lord, we pray You'd be with each one of us. Give me direction as I speak. Pray You'd bless the preaching of Your Word. Lord, we thank You for this time here. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning I had some things on my heart here. This past week we've been setting up another service truck, and there's a strong desire on our heart that when we get to the job site, the thing works, right? We have a service truck that is missing tools, things that don't work, you feel pretty foolish, don't you? I mean, you're missing the main thing, and the second thing's not there either, and the third thing should have been there. How does that feel when you get there and you start out like that? It makes a bad day. And so we put a lot of effort into thinking about that this past week, and I thought, you know, this thought would be something that I'd like to dwell on this morning. The topic of what I want to talk about is, are you equipped? Are you tooled up? Are you ready to face this coming week? It's a good thought for us, you know. I spent some time in Alaska this last while, in the natives, in the village. And it helped me to remember that, you know, we here in America, in the lower 48 anyway, we live a little more complicated lives. We've got a lot more tools, got a lot more things to fix and keep after. And it was really amazing. I don't know that I've ever lived somewhere where I didn't have a shower. I guess that was new for me. Now, maybe some of you have been familiar with that. I missed my shower about the third day in, I'll be honest with you. It was 15 below. I didn't sweat as much as I do here at home, but I was sweating some. And I missed my shower, you know. It's a very basic thing. Another thing they have is they have a barrel that they use to dip their water out. And that's how they get their drinking water. They haul it in, and they haul the waste out. And so there's places where we don't have as much equipping, as much tools, as many gadgets, but they still do appreciate a barrel, and they still do appreciate water, just the same as I do. And it's very important. If you turn to Ephesians 6, I'd like to turn there this morning, and like I said, in coming back home, we had to get some things ready for spring, and you know, I can think about living like they do, but I live here, and I need my tools, and I need organization and structure. We need to be set up. Spring's coming, these farmers make their phone calls, and we need to be ready. And so Ephesians 6 speaks about some of the things that I'd like to go over this morning. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Like to look at these verses. The armor of the Christian, the armor of the believer. You know, walking this Christian life without our armor on is foolishness. Amen? If we start our day out without the armor intact and our belt girded on, holding it on there, and the stuff's flopping around loose, you start running too fast and it disappears from you, you're going to be missing something that will make a difference on the accomplishment of your day and your spiritual journey. There's a spiritual armor and there's physical armor, tools, equipment. It's just like a lady starting in the kitchen in the morning with empty cupboards. It's going to be a long day. You can have a basic kitchen. I saw some very basic kitchens like I've never seen before. And then I've seen some with so many tools they need a mini barn to store them in. And then there's both sides of this. But for us as believers, if we think that we can start our day without getting our armor on, we're going to fall short. Something's going to go wrong. And if we make it through that day, it's not going to work to keep doing that on to the next. You know, you can be prepared spiritually, and you might have a little traction there, but if we don't get back in the book and spend our time praying, we're going to fall short. Will we not? How many of us can testify to that this morning? It's a common experience. And it occurred to me that, you know what, I needed to sharpen up. We've done some fasting at home here lately. We've been seeking God about different things. And I'd like to look at this. Ephesians 6, verse 10. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." And it goes on there. I'd love to have this beautiful picture up here, but we have a stick figure this morning, okay? This is a fellow. Usually with a woman, you put a dress on. That's a triangle-looking thing on a stick figure. So this is a fella going to war or a soldier. And there's different components that we'd like to look at. We're going to add on there as we go. And part of it's for the object lesson and that it all has for us. But part of it is to put a reminder on our hearts about the need for us to prepare. And so here we have different things. It speaks about a helmet. So we'll just put a helmet here. I don't know. It's a little hard to draw a helmet. Then we have a breastplate. Back in the day with the arrows, it was a big deal to have a breastplate. Now they still wear bulletproof armor on them under their shirt and things. And then there's a lot of other armor you could put on this fellow. We have a breastplate, we have shoes. It mentions those things. It mentions a sword. We're just going to put a Bible here because we don't use guns, right? Or do we? What are we fighting with? We fight with the word, the sword of the Spirit. Oh, let's see. What else are we missing here? This fellow has a sword over here, and then we have a shield over here. I'm not sure what a shield looks like. Depends what kind you're copying, I guess. But so we have the Bible in the one hand, that's our sword, and we have a shield in the other. And you could go on. You could put a lot of details there. And if I just ponder on each of these different ones, I'd like to help us to understand that a little bit. If we turn to Matthew chapter 4, I'd like to look at, you know, in the New Testament here, Christ wanted to help us learn what our battles really are, and it's different. We're not called to kill like the Old Testament did. We're going to look at the Old Testament too some, but Jesus was handling his battle in a little different way. And we want to draw some lesson from that. In Matthew chapter 4, I'd like to look at this here. Jesus was looking at, he knew the time was coming for his ministry to start. And here in Matthew 4 was kind of the entry level or the beginning of when this ministry took place. This was the starting point where from here it's like as if he entered into his lifetime calling or occupation, and he did it preparing with prayer. I want to read some verses here. Matthew 4, it says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards and hungered. And when the tempter came," or Satan came to him, "he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into the holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." So three times here, Jesus put his sword up, and he put his shield up, and he used his equipment. And this was like a forerunner. This was the beginning of Christ entering into his journey here. And I don't know if you noticed it, but it really stood out to me. We're going to go through different examples, but Jesus faced his battles with the Word of God. He quoted it, he thought about it, and that's what came out. He took the Word of God and said, "Satan, this is what God says. Satan, this is what God says." And he used the Word of God to fight the battle. Now, if you think about the situation a little bit, I want to help us to get a little bit of traction on this. You know, each one of us throughout the day has situations that come up. And Jesus here, fasting like he was, seeking God, If there's one thing you can tempt a red-blooded man, human man, that's been fasting for that long with, you can tempt him with food, right? Wouldn't food get your attention if you've been fasting for 40 days? If you fast one or two or 3 days, you get hungry, do you not? But he fasted for 40 days, so food had some of a draw to him in a way like as if it's probably hard for us to sense. When you abstain from food that long, the hunger is very strong and very deep in a crying out way like you can't understand if you're just going for another meal. It's very real. And so that was something that could really catch him. These other two situations here, Jesus coming into, if you look through the New Testament, just read through in these first five books, there's different times that Jesus had to deliberately lay down his own agenda, his own purpose, things that he could have used to get himself a position, to set himself up. He had to lay that thing down and choose God's way, his Father's way. And it was a temptation at times, I'm sure, especially at the time with Pilate. Pilate, Jesus says, you wouldn't have the power that you do if my Father hadn't given it to you. Jesus, all he would have had to do is a few little things, and he could have turned the circumstances around and made it bad for his avengers. He was very capable of that. He had to yield himself to his Father's will and allow God to have his way and lay down any fleshly positional choice that would have changed the circumstances to be comfortable, reasonable, so they feel good. He had to walk away from that again and again, using God's word, his Father's word, to fight those things off. And I really thank the Lord for his example in this here, how that very real things that are very strong passions, very strong senses, that he took the word of God and used that to push those things back and to drive them away. So the word of God is very important as we face the day. And that's a lesson for me. And the shield, I would look at that as prayer. Having our hearts in such a prayer mindset that these things just get deflected off because our heart, our mind, is anchored on God. The shield there, if we go back to Ephesians 6 and look at some of these verses some more, the power of prayer and just having God's Spirit moving in our mind and heart, that is so important to have that where it needs to be at so that we don't come short. I like to look at Joshua chapter 7. I was thinking there, and this is a real classic. I could relate to this myself. In Joshua chapter 7, we have the Israelites just came into the promised land, and they just had the victory with Jericho. And that was the big one. They felt something happen. They saw something happen like they'd never seen. God moved. God was on their side. He's a great God. We've got a hold of something here. And that spirit was just all through the camp. But if you're not careful, that can bite you, you know. And in Joshua chapter 7, I'd like to read a few verses here. It says in verse 1, but the children of Israel committed a trespass and the accursed thing for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, "Go up and view the country." And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, "Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but a few." So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the people's hearts melted and became as water. There's a tremendous change of events. And I look at this example and I think about it. You know, I can relate to that myself. Taking a day or a situation and you think, well, I've been through bigger things than this before. I'll just go deal with this. And you take the situation and it just becomes a big mess. You know, you'd think it would have been simple, no big deal. What's the need to pray about it? Have any of you ever entered into something with that mindset? I have to confess, I have. And it backfires. And literally, the spark plugs blow out. I mean, the thing sits. And now you've got a bigger mess than you had to start with, twice the work. And it's because of what? A lack of prayer? A proud spirit? An arrogant attitude? A lack of humility? You fill in the blanks. How many of you can relate to that? I don't need to raise the hands. Just think about it. The mothers can relate to this. Young people, each one of us can. If we look at starting our day for warfare and this artillery protection is not upon us, we're going to get hit. Right? And it's real. Might start at 7:30 already. We're just getting going. And the whole day is in front of us yet. So what do you do? Do you just keep going or what do you do? Would we do not well to just stop even right there and get things right and start? Or do we just keep it rolling? You know? It's real, brothers and sisters. What do we do? I think we do well to stop and get this protection in place, acknowledge that, clear it up, and go forward from there. It's just been more real to me, the older I get, how much that we need this prayer life real. Because everything we do can be an investment in the next thing that we do, or else we end up going back and it takes twice as long, twice as much effort. And there's usually, because our gear isn't in place, there's an arrow hole we got to patch up. There's a relationship that needs a lot of ointment and even stitches because it got me. And we spend twice the time and we have scars. I've got scars all over me. I could tell you a story about each one of them. And I think each one of us has a lot of those same things written on our hearts as well. We could spend a long time here just talking about each one of those scars that are on our hearts, that are on our bodies, because somebody dealt with us after the flesh and not after the spirit. And you can be very young when this can begin to occur, and us gray-bearded older brothers have maybe more stories of the same thing, and they're not profitable when they go that way. And so it's become very real to me, as real as facing the day without our things, having a truck without the tools, May God help me as a dad or in my place, whatever I'm doing, to enter my day with my gear on, my spiritual gear. And that's prayer. Starts right down on our knees, on our hearts, humbling ourselves before God in the morning and say, God, yesterday's blessings are all past again. Once again, I come needy. Opening my heart to you, I need your protection. I need your help. I need your word on the tip of my tongue that the words that I say bring forth goodness. And that the gear that I'm using to get the job done does the job right. So that my life is profitable today. Sisters, brothers, young people, and older ones, we all need this. And maybe we can even pray for the others, maybe where there's need, that our prayers can help them as well. But we need to be a praying church. We need to have our armor on. It's very important. This story right here in Joshua was an embarrassment to the people. And it came down to the fact that Achan had taken of the things. All he took was a bar of gold, a garment, and a few things. Do you think that he treasured that chunk of gold by about 2 o'clock that afternoon? That thing was the curse to him. It finished his life off. It finished his family because he took of that accursed thing. And it looked very precious, and he stuck it in his pocket, right? He got home and dug a hole, and he had to hide it because it was cursed. It wasn't right to have. And he kept that thing. How many of us, myself included, how many of us have those type things sitting in here? And we start the day, or we're walking through the day, and there's this junk in here that if we'd really get accountable to God or open our heart to God, that we would enjoy sharing that or allowing others to know what's in here. How many of us would find ourselves in that place? Are we proud of what we're containing in here? Maybe proud's the wrong word for it. Are we thankful for what we're containing? That sounds better, right? Are we glad? Are we prepared? Are we ready? Is what we have in here what everybody else needs? Or does it stink? Or is it useless in this responsibility that we have for the day? We do well to just have that open relationship with God and say, God, I need you. This is who I am. This is where I'm at. Please fill me with you. I want to walk with you. I want to be a blessing for you. I want my gear in place that my day can go well and be useful for your kingdom's work. Because there's nothing else that I want to be involved in. There's no place I'd rather go. God, I need you. I really, in looking at Joshua 7 here, there was some really harsh judgment given then. If you go on there in verse 10 and into verse 20. Verse 21, it says, Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel, and thus have I done. And I don't know what would have happened if Achan would have just simply repented when he had a chance, or repented even there and confessed his sin and gave it all up. We don't read that that happened. He just acknowledged what happened and didn't repent of it, and God's judgment came. And it says in verse 26, they stoned him and they raised up a great heap of stones. And the Lord's anger abated and turned away. It cost him his family, his own life, his family, his stuff. Just a piece of gold and a garment. And brothers and sisters, I found myself in these places. I just want to ask you this morning, where do you find yourself? What are you holding on to? What do you treasure more than that piece of God? Where do you find yourself in this? Is your heart clear? Are you laying a hold of the eternal things? Are you prepared? Do you have all your tools? Where do you find yourself? If we go back to Ephesians 6, I'd like to look there a little bit more at some of this this gear that we have. Thinking about it a little bit more, okay, I look at, in the story of Job, we have Job's circumstance, and then it talks there about the sons of God came together, and they had a meeting, and God asked Satan, he said, "Satan, so what's you been up to?" Well, Satan, you know, did his thing. He said, "Well, I've been here and there, to and fro." He wasn't being honest, was he? He didn't want to tell God exactly what was going on. But then God talked about Job. Satan knew Job. He knew where his GPS coordination was at, didn't he? He knew right where he was at, and he knew who he was, and he knew what he thought of God and the walk with God. And the things that, as I'm realizing some of this, God allows these circumstances in our lives. And even though situations can seem really big, God is still in control. Satan can't do anything but what God allows to happen. And if it is that way, and we read it's true, then we can trust that God will have the grace to take us beyond it and take us through it for his honor and glory. There's a way through it, brothers and sisters. And God, through Jesus Christ, paid a tremendous price that we can get through it. And I want to avail myself to that power. But we need those tools. And Jesus had a hold of those. And Job there went through his circumstance, and then you get to chapter 2, and they had another meeting in heaven, and the sons of God came, and God asked Satan again, "So what have you been up to?" Same old stay. "I've been to and fro throughout the earth, you know." "Have you considered my servant Job? Didn't work, did it? No, he's a man of God. You're protecting him. You know what? The thing goes on, and I don't really think that the story is different today. God is looking for faithful men, men that love him, want to give their hearts to him, young and older, and let him face their battles for him, for his glory. God's looking for Job's today. He's looking for Daniel's today. And we have examples of these different ones. Job had a habit, continual habit of getting up and seeking God in the morning. We go down the Bible a little further, and there's this man called Daniel. What was his habit? Anybody? Prayer. And he was so spot on consistent with it. If they were going to fault him, how did they want to fault him? By his faithful commitment to prayer, right? You could count on it. At such and such a time, he's going to be there. It's going to happen. Daniel. And then you go on a little further, and then we read about Jesus. What was his habit? Anybody? He had prayer. And I think we can learn something from these examples. There's different other things. So that's one thing here that we can think about. I was also reading and studying the different parts of the armor a little bit, and it was really common back in the day with horses and chariots and such like and so forth. The soldiers used some steel and some good shoes, but they had stuff in their shoes for a purpose. This is a gall trap, they call it. Okay, in the day when you had horses and chariots, if you knew a trail and you knew that's where they're going to be coming through, if you'd scatter these dagger-looking little objects, they weren't much bigger than about like this. It was like a trap, a pyramid-looking object with like a fish hook-type point on the end, a barb in it. And when a horse or a person, and they would use sharp sticks as well across the trail, they'd put sticks up. If there's one thing they could do to lame the army, to stop them up, to wound them, in that day, these gall traps, that's why he talks about shoes. The Romans used them a lot too with horses and chariots. They'd throw these things out, they'd scatter them all out on the trails, and then the main points where you'd expect a lot of traffic through, and it would just, what's a chariot worth when a horse can't pull it? The horses are going down, the men are going down, there's chaos, total exposure, and this can fit the whole group, messes it all up. And that's why the shoes are so important. And I want to think about that a little bit. These shoes, having the gospel of peace on our tongues as we go, is so important. As we're going, that this gospel, this burden of God, is being conveyed as we go, because our weapons are the Word of God. We don't believe it's right to use rifles. We use the Word of God. And it's so important that our feet are shod or prepared with the gospel of peace as we go. That God's Word, His ways, His peace is our mission. It's what we think about, talk about, that we're vessels communicating the gospel of peace. The devil will use all kinds of gall traps. He'll use all kinds of daggers, and he'll use all kinds of thoughts. I don't know, different of you, what you hear. Different times I hear stories, and it really concerns me. But there's people going to church different places, and they hear this voice telling them it's okay to take the covering off. I'm asking you, where does the voice come from that speaks words like that? You know, if you do this, it's not so bad. It's okay. It's not a big deal. It's just a little thing. Doesn't the devil use thoughts, words? Is there not a spirit moving around in this world that we live trying to lead people astray? You know, if you take the Word of God and you look at truth, it's obvious. But when we listen to those voices and the Word of God's not right there to conflict that thought, to push it out. There's a lot of thoughts like that. I've been reading different things and hearing different stories about people finding liberty or whatever. And that's not liberty when we go against God's word and lay his commands down and different things. There's so many different things. A little bit of money, a little bit of sales tax money kept, a little bit. Well, right now we've got income taxes. That's a big one. You know, are you getting all your W-2s out and stuff so that everybody knows how much you paid out? Are you filing everything that you're made? Oh, the other day I got my property tax bill in the mail. I had to rejoice while I wrote the checks out and put them in the mailbox. Thank God I live where I do, you know? Are we thankful to pay those things? Everybody knows what I'm talking about. You know, I come in the house, I told my wife, well, honey, I said different things, so I won't do that here. I just told her she has a lot to be thankful for. She just cooks and cleans, and things keep rolling, and it all happens. Thank the Lord, you know. But we need to pay those things out. Those things we're accountable for those things. Keeping a little bit of stuff isn't worth it when it's God's or it's not ours to be kept. We need to be honest about it. So I encourage you to pay your income taxes and pay that what you owe. Oh, and property taxes, too. They're due in 2 weeks or about a week now, you know. All of these things. God is looking for people that walk peacefully. And looking at this here, these darts, they come in so many different ways. They come in crazy thoughts. If you look at it according to the Bible, it's a crazy thought. But when you just listen to the devil and his sugar-coated idea, it doesn't look so bad. There's all kinds of things. You could fill in the blanks. You know what I mean? I think personally, it's just so important that we take those in a matter of prayer. If you could turn to 2 Peter, I have a few verses here yet I want to look at in 2 Peter 3. I want to look at this in verse 16, 17, and 18. Paul was an educated man, and he had some words that different people didn't understand. He spoke in a way that was hard to be understood because he was quite educated, you know. And verse 16 here, it talks about it. In 2 Peter 3, verse 16, it says, as it also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things that are hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own souls, destruction, unto their own destruction. We had that in family devotions this week. I was reading the last chapter of Revelation in family devotions, and there's just explained to the children, it's really important to God that you take the context of the whole scripture. If you just pull one verse out and just launch out with it, you can go way off on a direction that's not balanced to go. And you'll meet people throughout life that'll do that. They'll take one verse and they'll just, we call it bunny trail, right? They just go way out in left field on that one because they don't take the whole thing in context. The Bible is that way. Communication one with another can be that way. If you don't really understand what somebody means, you can end up with a whole wrong understanding of what's being said and have a lot of problems. God's word's the same way. We do well to not rest those things and twist them so that they make us feel good, but read it for what it is. If God's word says something and it brings conviction, in the sense of, I got to get right with God on this, let's let it do what it wants to do in our hearts. Let's don't pick and choose which ones we're going to use. Let's take God's word for what it is. And it says there's some that are unstable. There's people that do that. They like to just take this one and pull that one and let this one go because it would make life uncomfortable. We do well to let God's word do what it wants to do in our hearts. But then it goes on in verse 17 here. It says, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be both glory now and forever. Amen. There's something there that can happen if we're not aware, if we're not prepared and equipped to face the day. We can fall from our own steadfastness out of the way. Now, God would have it to be different. He would have it that it wouldn't be that way. And there's a way out of that. We can make things right, but it's much more profitable if we get our shoes on, get our helmet on, get our shield on, get our sword on, go out the door and face the day. It's very much more profitable to enter the day like that than like this right here. And I'll just take and draw this fellow, a stick figure. He doesn't look very well prepared for things that are coming, does he? I know my artist work is not very good, but a stick figure with nothing on it shows the point quite well. He is not prepared. And I guess for myself, I've spent quite a bit of time thinking about that this past week, and just want to encourage us, brothers, sisters, let's be careful. That error, the way the devil would like to take us, it's not worth it. No, not for a minute. Let's don't give him an inch of real estate. Then he's got something to stand on, you know. Let's don't give it to him. Let's give it to God. Let's give our hearts to God, our time to God, our bodies to God, so he can do what he wants to do. May God help us with that. Let's be Daniels. Let's be men of God, Jobs, and let's give our hearts to him. It's much more profitable that way. It's so much simpler moving forward with that in place than the consequences of a couple hours or a half a day without it and having to make it all over again and try to make things right. May God help us. Lord, give us wisdom to take this to heart in a real way right here for each one of us, so that it can be a blessing for each one and those that we work with. Lord bless you.